Please have your Bibles open. We'll be between 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4, and also some other parts of the Bible as well. Most of those will be coming up on the screen, but there are a couple that won't. But that's okay. I'm sure we can all cope. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us your word. Father, thank you that you speak to us in it. And Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that as we look at your word, you would give us ears to hear, minds to understand, and hearts to obey what you say to us in it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to begin by asking you a question which might be controversial, might cause a bit of a stir, some people might even be offended, but that's okay. Let's see how we go. Do you think that young people today are self-involved? Do you think that young people today are self-involved? I'm not sure if that's causing a stir. I'm not sure if that's controversial. I think the fact that I've asked the question means that I'm on the old divide rather than the young divide. If you've ever thought to yourself, oh, young people today, that probably means that you are old. Do you think young people today are self-involved? You might have read, there's a bit of a rise, or people think, or the people who are thinking about such things, think that there is a rise in the me culture. And so there was one article that I read which thought that it was significant that we've moved from talking about email and e-commerce, that is e-prefixed things, to i-prefixed things, so iPhone, iPod, you know, iCar, whatever it is. But, you know, this is not something new. The me culture, the rise of me, because it's an expression of the sinful nature. It's an expression of the nature that all human beings have. It's an expression of the truth that we are all children of Adam. But with the advent of certain technologies, it has exploded, that is, this rise of the me culture, it's exploded onto the scene in a way that wasn't possible before. So you think about how we used to do it, having a building named after you, or endowing a chair at a university, or having a sculpture or painting or statue of you placed in a prominent place, or setting up a foundation in your name. That's how we used to do it. That's how we used to talk about me, promote me. And that still happens, but to do that, you need to be pretty wealthy, don't you? Endowing a chair, having your sculpture in a prominent place, starting a foundation in your name, you need to be wealthy to be able to do that sort of thing. Contrast that to the present. Now you can do it. Now you can promote me. Now you can put me in the face of everyone on Instagram or on Facebook. And that doesn't require wealth, does it? All it requires is an internet connection and a camera of some description. The me culture is more obvious to see. And you know, Christians aren't immune to this either. Sometimes Christians come to church with a consumer mindset. Sometimes Christians come to a church with the mindset of, what can church do for me? What does this church offer me? How does this church meet my needs? How will this church help me? This morning is our second and final sermon on the topic of church. And this morning we're looking at the scriptural command to serve your church. We're looking at the command to serve your church. So this morning we're going to look at this command. We're going to think about three reasons to serve your church, and then finally to think about what service looks like. Now, you might remember from last time, which was now 3 weeks ago, that I spoke about loving your church. And I talked about how there wasn't a particular verse in the Bible with that particular form of words saying, love your church, but the concept was there. and that's doing the work of theology or doctrine. It's a similar case this morning. You won't find those particular words, serve your church, in that particular form in the Bible, but the concept is there. We're doing the work of theology. We're doing the work of doctrine. Have a look at Galatians 5. This verse will come up on the screen for us. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. You see here, verse 13 particularly, is a verse that puts us on the track to come to the conclusion that serve your church is a scriptural command. Paul commands the Galatians to serve one another in love. In context, one another is talking about Christians. Just a few verses later, Paul says to the Galatians, if you keep on backbiting and fighting one another, you'll devour each other, you'll destroy each other. He's talking about the Galatian church and the way in which the Christians there are treating each other, which is to say, one another in this context, I think, is talking about Christians. That's what God commands, serve one another in love. And the place where you'd have the most opportunity to serve your Christian brother or sister is at church. It's with the people that you meet with Sunday by Sunday, as you gather around God's word, as you gather around his son. So, what does it mean to serve? Well, serving is doing something for someone else, usually. You might remember the time when petrol stations weren't self-service. Do you remember that time? Do you remember those times? You know, when you'd turn up to the petrol station and you just wait in the car and someone would come out and, you know, put the petrol in for you. And then some petrol stations were self-service, which was kind of, ooh, radical. And, you know, you got out of your car and put petrol in. Nowadays, all petrol stations are self-service. Do you remember the time when there was no such thing as a self-service checkout at the supermarket? Everyone, I think, should be able to remember that. You know, there was a time when there were people who were paid to beep your groceries. Now, if you're into that kind of thing, or if you think you're going to save time, you can do it yourself. I kind of think, well, I'm paying for the groceries. Why don't I pay for the person to do it for me? But, you know, usually service is doing something for someone else. Serving is doing something for someone else. It's doing something for someone else's benefit. The benefit that you receive is secondary, and it's not the motivating factor. And if we narrow this down to think about, well, what does serving your church mean? Well, it's doing the jobs which make a church run. Central to a church running is the teaching of God's word. And central to a church running is loving one another. So the jobs which make those happen, those are ways in which you serve. Those are areas for service. And so what makes a church service run? What makes a Bible study group run? How do we care for each other's needs? Those are the jobs, those are the areas of service which mean that you would be serving your church. Or if you think about it in terms of our church's mission statement, proclaiming Christ and growing disciples for God's glory, what jobs need to happen for that vision to come about? What jobs need to happen so that we proclaim Christ? What jobs need to happen so that we grow disciples, and overarching all of that, for God's glory? What attitudes would we need to carry into our service for that to happen? You see, service puts things into perspective, because in service, the focus is on the other. And you know, when God commands us to serve your church, it's not as if this is something that is foreign to God, because we have the example of service, Jesus Christ himself. Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 to 28. This will come up on the screen. Jesus called them together, that is, the disciples, and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Notice especially verse 28. Jesus is speaking of himself. Jesus, Lord of the universe, creator of all things, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve. He came for others. So the command is there. The command is there as we do that work of figuring out what the Bible says. Serve your church. But there are reasons to do that. And reasons are motivating things. You know, you might have the command, serve your church. That might not be enough to quite get you over the line. You need to be convinced. So first of all, why serve your church? Well, first of all, I'd say serve your church because you love your church. So the sermon that I did a couple of weeks ago, love your church, that's kind of a bit of the basis for what we're talking about this morning. Service of your church arises out of love for your church. Because you love your church, you will serve your church. It's one of the expressions or implications of loving your church. I remember from last time, there were three reasons to love your church. Love your church because God does. Love your church because Jesus died for her to make her his own. And love your church because of the place she has in God's plan. Those reasons to love your church are also reasons to serve your church. That is, serve your church because God loves your church. Serve your church because Jesus died to make your church his own. And serve your church because of your church's place in God's plan. See, if we do that, if we have this exalted, high view of church, if we see the importance of church, then we'll see that the people here matter. Wurrunga Presbyterian Church matters. If you go to another church and you're just visiting here today, welcome. Your church, whichever church that is, matters. The people who go there are worth spending time with. The people who go there are worth serving alongside. So that's the first reason. Serve your church because you love your church. Second reason, serve your church because in so doing, you're serving Christ. Serve your church because in so doing, you're serving Christ. Serving your church is an expression of serving Jesus Christ. And that's what we're here for. As Christian men and women and boys and girls, that's what we're here for, to serve Jesus. And so how do you serve him? What does it mean to do that? Well, it means that his priorities come before our own priorities. It means that we're obedient to him, whatever the circumstance, whether it's easy or it's difficult. It's related to the truth, that is, serving our church, because in so doing we're serving Christ. It's related to the truth that we're united to him by faith. Again, like with the command to serve your church, I don't think there's a particular verse that uses those particular words to explain it, but I think the principle is there. And so you might recall in Matthew 25, Jesus tells the parable of the sheep and the goats, and there are people who he says to some of them, you did all these things for me, visited me in prison, visited me when I was sick, gave me a meal, you clothed me, you fed me, those sorts of things. And the people reply, well, Lord, when did we see you? When did we see you? When did we do all these things? And Jesus says that what you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. So there's this principle in terms of what you do for Christian brothers and sisters is what you do for Christ. We see it again in Ephesians chapter 4. Not in the verses that we read, but a few verses later, in verse 25 of chapter 4, Paul gives a command to the Ephesian Christians not to lie to one another. Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Okay? Paul says to the Ephesian Christians, don't lie to each other because you're all members of one body. That's a crazy thing to do if you're one body and you're lying to each other. But remember also, the body is one of the ways that Paul, just a few verses earlier, has spoken of the church. Okay, so what you do to one another is what you do to Jesus. Or again, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where Paul is talking about sexual immorality and particularly trying to tell the Corinthians, don't do this. And he says, if you're sexually immoral, then you're uniting Christ to a prostitute. And that's a terrible thing to do. That is the worst thing ever. Do not do it. You yourselves are members of Jesus Christ himself, is what Paul says. So there is this principle, I think. And I think from that we can draw the conclusion or draw the implication that you serve your church because in so doing, you're serving Christ. Third reason is to serve your church because the church is a body, not a blob. Okay? Serve your church because the church is a body, not a blob. What does that even mean? Well, 1 Corinthians 12 makes this point for us, I think. The church isn't one big eye. The church isn't one big ear. That is, we're not just an undifferentiated entity like a blob is. The church is a body. A body consists of different parts. We're not all the same, and that's okay. And it's okay because you need difference for the body to function. That's what Paul is saying when he's talking about, you know, one big eye or one ear, one big ear. It's not going to work. It's not going to be a body if that's all that the body is. Our bodies function in a coordinated way, which is to say the parts work together instead of against each other, but difference is still required. And also in 1 Corinthians 12, each part needs the other. One part, no one person can do it all. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine if this church consisted simply of or only of mini Davies? Can you think of that? Can you think of if this church, that's all this church was, mini Davies everywhere? That would be terrible. I can assure you that morning tea would look very different and you wouldn't like it. Have you ever tried to sing just the drums? No good. And if I was doing a gingerbread event, a gingerbread house making event, utter disaster. You can substitute your own name in there if you like and have a think. What would this church be like if it was just mini, insert your name? We see the same idea in Ephesians 4 as well, don't we? Notice especially verse 16. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Notice especially those last couple of words, as each part does its work. See, God in his kindness has made Wurrunga Presbyterian Church different. God in his kindness has made Wurrunga Presbyterian Church different. And if I can briefly digress and make a comment about session, God in his kindness has made the session different. And I'm very thankful to God for that, because it means that the excellence of the elders in their different ways makes it a better session. But back to the church, back to Wurrunga Presbyterian Church, God has made us different. God has made us different, and each with a part to play. But you know, the other thing is the Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, gives gifts to his church. He gives gifts to his people so that they will serve, so that they will use their gifts, so that they will play their part in the building of the body. We saw it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, especially in verses 4 to 11. We saw it also in Ephesians chapter 4, especially in verses 11 to 13. But it's not just Paul who has this on his mind, that is, that each person has a part to play in the church, that the Lord gives gifts, pardon me, and you're to use those gifts for service. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, as it comes up on the screen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Whatever gift you have received, use it to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. See, people don't have identical gifts. That's okay. People aren't all the same. That's okay. There's a variety so that the body can do its work. God has given you a gift which you're to use to serve your church. So, three reasons to serve your church. Serve your church because you love your church. Serve your church because in so doing, you're serving Christ, the Master. And serve your church because the church is a body, not a blob. So what does this mean for us? What does it mean for service? Well, it means that there are no free rides, okay? It means that there are no free rides. Everyone has a part to play. Everyone has a part to play. Remember those last couple of words of Ephesians 4:16, as each part does its work. Your part may not necessarily be in an upfront role, and that's okay. It's not necessarily in a teaching role, and that's okay. But what you need to do when you serve is to use your gifts and skills, or perhaps even learning new skills. Maybe your part to play is in prayer. In many ways, that's an invisible part. People don't see you pray when you're at home, but prayer is necessary. That could be your part to play in this church. Maybe your part to play is in being at church week in and week out and speaking to the person who's sitting alone or speaking to the new person. Maybe your part to play is providing a meal for someone who needs one or being on the morning tea roster. Maybe your part to play is to wash the dishes or to take out the garbage. Maybe you're an organized and efficient person, you're a good administrator. That is your part to play in this church. But also, maybe your part to play is in one of those upfront or teaching roles, like playing music, like teaching kids' church or creche or youth group. Maybe you've got gifts in those areas, but you haven't volunteered yet. But service is countercultural. I mean, recall at the start, the rise of the me culture, which is around, it's been around for a while, it's just we're seeing it in different forms. Our present culture is self-focused. What's in it for me? What advantage do I gain? How does this help me out? And so the notion of service, and especially sacrificial service, sounds strange, and perhaps it grates on us. It sounds like you're being exploited. It sounds like someone's taking advantage of you. However, think back to Christ. Think back to his service. Yes, service is hard. We don't want to pretend otherwise. Sometimes you don't see anything come out of it. Sometimes you don't get thanked. Sometimes you don't get acknowledged for your contribution. You're not recognized. But if this is the motivation for service, then there's a problem. Let me say that again so you don't misunderstand. If thanks or acknowledgement or recognition are your motivation for service, then there's a problem. This isn't to say that we shouldn't be thankful or acknowledge those who serve, far from it. But if you're serving so that someone will thank you or acknowledge you or recognize you, then I'd like you to question your heart. I'd like you to question your heart. Are you seeking to please men, or are you seeking to please God? I don't want you to serve because you feel guilty. I don't even want you to serve because you see a need. I don't want you to serve because the minister told you to. I want you to serve because of the love of Jesus Christ for you. I want you to serve because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to you. I want you to serve because you desire to please God. I want you to serve because you love your church. I want you to serve because you love your God. Service does take time. Other things will get pushed out because you've only got 24 hours per day. If you somehow have managed to figure out how to be at 25 hours per day, I would like to speak to you. But everyone else, normal people, everyone has 24 hours per day. Anytime you say yes to something, you say no to something else. What that means is you'll probably need to reorganize your schedule if you want to be in service. But this is the church. Jesus died for her to make her his own. And through the church, God is making known his manifold wisdom. It's noble to serve your church. It is godly to serve your church. Some of you, however, don't think that way. You're not one of the young people, if I can stereotype the young people who are me-focused. I don't think young people are me-focused. I think everyone's me-focused. But anyway, your generation is different. You don't mind serving others because you know that it's not all about you. But perhaps you've decreased your service because you feel weary, you feel tired. Perhaps you've used the excuse that it's time for the younger ones to have a go. If that's you, then can I encourage you to serve as much as you can? And if you're one of those people who have stepped aside to let the younger ones have a go, which isn't a bad thing, can I suggest that one way to get back into serving is to mentor one of those younger people who's having a go? You're one of those older heads who's done it before. I'm sure one of those younger ones for whom you've stepped aside so that they can have a go would love to hear your wisdom on how to go about doing whatever it is. There are seasons in life when the amount of time you can spend in serving your church will vary. And again, that's part of the difference of Wurunga Presbyterian Church, of the church that God has made us to be. That's okay. Some seasons you'll have more time. Other seasons you'll have less time. But the key question to ask is whether you're serving fully and wholeheartedly, giving due recognition to the season of your life. You can volunteer to serve. You know, I've got some skills in this. Can I use them somehow? Or even, I can't do this, but I'd like to learn how. Can you help me? If that's you, talk to me. Talk to one of your elders. We'd love to hear from you in terms of areas in which you think you might be able to serve or areas in which you'd like to serve, but you know you don't yet have the skills to do it. And, you know, at the end, you might discover, having had a go at, I don't know, making morning tea, you find out, well, that's not really one of my gifts. That's kind of beyond my abilities. And that's okay. Because what we want to cultivate, what we want to nurture, is servant-heartedness. One simple way to serve your church is by coming week in, week out. Coming to church, remember, isn't doing something for God. Yes, God commands us to meet together, Hebrews 10. And when we gather together, we do worship God. But remember, we're not doing God a favor by coming to church. He doesn't need our worship as if he is dependent upon us. Church is a gift from God for your aid. It's a gift from God for your growth in godliness. When you're fed by the reading and preaching of God's word, and as you serve others, it's a growth to your godliness as you serve others because you grow in humility, you grow in patience, you grow in perseverance. And while you might not recognize it, your presence is important to others. Each person has a part to play. Each person has a gift to use. One of the great things which has encouraged me while serving here at Wurunga Presbyterian is to see the way that people are different. To see the way that people in different life stages are serving this church. Because before coming to Wurrunga Presbyterian Church, I didn't have a sustained view, or I had not seen in a sustained kind of a way, what it looked like for people to serve at different stages of life. I could have told you what it looked like to serve your church when you're in your 20s and when you're in your 30s, but I couldn't have told you what it looked like to serve your church in your 70s or your 80s. But now I can. And that's a gift from you, Wurrunga Presbyterian Church, to me. It doesn't look identical in your 20s compared to your 80s, but they're both serving the church. Serve your church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great kindness that you've shown us in giving us your Son. And Father in heaven, we thank you also that you make us different, that we are not all the same, that we are not identical, but you give to each of us different gifts. Father in heaven, we pray that you would be at work in us so that we would use whatever gifts you have given us to joyfully serve your church, knowing that your church occupies a great place in your plans, knowing that you love your church, and knowing that this is your will for us, this is your command for us. Father in heaven, please change us by your Spirit to be able to serve in that way. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.